wonderful time, you know. Praise God. You know, I was listening to this here just on Friday, sermon called Influence. And you know, in that sermon, Brother Brown was preaching, and there was a man coming, and he told him about some of the things he shouldn't be preaching, that God had called his ministry was healing. You know what he said to him? He said, God called me to preach the gospel. And he said, that's the pastor's job, but he said, they're not doing it. And he said, that's what he was called to do, was preach the gospel. And he sang this song at the end of the service, Hear the Lord of Harvest sweetly calling, who will go and work for me today? Who will bring to me the lost and dying? Yes. Who will point them to the narrow way? Praise God. Let us stand this morning with an attitude of worship. Amen. Hear the Lord of Harvest sweetly calling, who will go and work for me today? Who will bring to me the lost and dying? Who will point them to the narrow way? Sing my Lord, sing to me.
Let us turn to Matthew 7, and then when I read it, I'll just give an announcement before you pray. Matthew chapter 7, and you know, I prepared a sermon for this morning, and I was studying on fallen man, and I spent quite a bit of time during the latter part of the week, and had already different scriptures down, thoughts and everything, and I went out this morning and, you know, I was sitting down just waiting on the Lord, and the Lord did speak to me. I believe that. And I believe, you know, the Holy Spirit said to me, steady thyself. Now that might sound strange. Steady thyself. And I was worrying what I'm going to preach. Had bought a new machine, one of these tablets, and the new one quit working. And I spent hours to prepare this message on something said within me, steady thyself. And God brought me back to something else that he wants me to preach. And I believe this is a word from the Lord for people in this meeting. And I'm not playing about with this. I believe this is a word from the Lord. And I believe we need to take heed to it. And I don't know if I'll get through all of this morning, but part of this is going to slumber. Slumbering. And I want to preach again about these 10 virgins. And you know the thing about them, that all of them slept, the 10 of them. Not 5 of them, but the 10 of them all slept. And they were all virgins. And there had to be a cry made to waken all of them. And when the cry was made, went for the oil. And I tell you, God wants us to be awakened spiritually and physically.
Amen.
And I want us to see this morning, this is not natural sleep. This is a sleep of apathy. And it's in this age. A real apathy. Sleepiness. And you'll see from the Word of God, Jesus warned his disciples about this. And Paul warned the church about it. And God in the 20th century sang out a cry again. And he warned the bride, which says, I am bride. But remember when he seen the vision, he said, get back in line.
Well,
God wants us to be awakened. Let me read this from Matthew 7, and I'm missing chapter 25. We'll go to it later. Verse 24 to 27, praise God. Therefore, whosoever heareth these words, this is Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doth them, that's what her brother John's already said. God can speak. But many times we don't want to hear it. Hearing, recognizing, and what's the next bit? Going into action. Praise God. These sayings of mine and doth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. Let us bow our heads this morning, and while we're coming to prayer, there's a brother Daniel and sister Karen Fragio, and I mightn't be pronouncing it right, or sister Lynn knows them well, or Stevens. This young man's a friend of Stephen's, and this brother Daniel ministers in Evening Light Fellowship. He's a minister of the Word of God, and his son committed suicide just this week on Wednesday while his father was preaching. His son committed suicide, and we want to be praying for God to comfort the family. And I tell you, brethren, there is a need like never before, universally,
hallelujah,
for deliverance ministry. But a lot of people don't want it. they don't want it. But I am telling you this morning that God is making a way.
Amen.
For His word to go forward. Now, I'm not saying people's not preaching. There's people preaching. And I'm talking about a deliverance ministry where the power of the Holy Ghost comes in and discerns and puts devils out. Sets people free. There's a need for it. And God has it. God has it. God doesn't need a hand. God has it. But God wants us to hear and obey. And He wants us to waken up. And this is for every one of us. Let's bow our heads as we pray. And if you need prayer, you pray as well. Heavenly Father, we just thank You that You are a rock and we're in love. Lord, what can we say? But Father, we do come into agreement with this brother Daniel and all the whole family at this time of great bereavement. Lord, we can't comprehend the pain of loss of a son. But Father, we do sincerely pray that Thou indeed will bless them and help them and encourage and strengthen them at this time in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we plead the power of Thy blood over the whole house, over Daniel and his wife and all the family. And Father, we pray that somehow that this tragedy, that there'll be a victory won, that people will get saved, that You'll speak even at the very funeral service, that You'll deal with men and women's hearts. Father, for the needs here, oh God, we know You're a God of miracles. We ask that Thou would reach Thy mighty arm forth and make it bear in salvation and deliverance in our own homes.
Jesus.
And all that's near and dear to us, we plead the power of Thy blood over them. In Jesus Christ's name, we rebuke every demonic power and we rebuke every demonic force in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory.
Hallelujah.
Lord, the word of God says, who is the King of glory? Lift up the gates and the King of glory shall come in. The Lord, mighty and powerful.
Hallelujah.
Father, speak to us from Your word.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Lord, encourage Your people. Strengthen us. Give us backbone. Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank You that You undertake for me. In the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. All right. Can you please, in private, continue to pray for this brother and his family? This is a terrible thing. Just pray for him. The Lord will really touch them. Praise God. I hadn't planned to go back to this morning. I wanted to preach on something different. I felt last week maybe God was speaking to some people, other people. I had a dream about two people in this meeting last week, and that dream come to pass in the very meet. On Sunday night, I told you, Brother John preached on Sunday night. I'd lost this wedding ring. I couldn't find it. My wife searched for it. I searched for it. And there's a drawer for I keep it. It wasn't in the drawer. We both emptied the drawer and looked for it. Neither of us could find it. But on Sunday night, after Brother John preached about Elijah recovering the axe to this young man, someone said within me, go and look for the ring again. So I couldn't wait to get home. When I got home, I went in the room, opened the drawer, and lifted the ring out. Now I can't explain that. It's on my finger today. I lost it. And you'll not tell me you missed it, brother. My wife looked for it. I looked for it. We both searched for it. It was gone. But God restored it.
Amen.
God brought it back. God is doing something. And I say, when Brother Brian was here, the Holy Spirit could have spoken the Wednesday night through a prophetic word, and God was saying He'd blow upon the land, He'd blow upon the nations, that God's word will go forth like a mighty hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. God wants us to come back to the simplicity of the preaching. And here this morning I want us to see these virgins. And there's two things I want to look at. I want to really emphasize this business of the oil. Because there's so many people that haven't got the oil. They've all the trimmings, they've all the lamps, of everything. You could say the virgins are good people, they're Christians, they're believers, but they lack the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And brother, there's no hiding that we need the Holy Spirit. You say,
so you read the bridegroom. Keep it in.
says it is. Your soul is precious. And as I studied through the fall of humanity, I saw the fall. I saw for the serpent come in. And then you see, when you get to Genesis 6, and it says that the sons of God, God looked on the daughters of men, saw them were fair. And that was the daughters from them that came from the Cain line. And they took themselves wives. And the Bible says God was grieved. And then he said, my spirit on all side of that. Now you've reached the stage for all flesh has corrupted itself. That's what the Bible says. So nobody can look over and say, he's serpent seed. He's not serpent seed. That's absolute nonsense. It's contrary to the word of God. It's all mixed. It's all hybrid. But there's a soul in there that you can't see, that I can't see. But God can see it. And the preaching of the gospel is to reach that soul.
You weren't in the meeting, but I feel led to tell it to you.
And he said, go ahead, Father, he laughed at her. And she related the whole story, how God set his face on fire. And when she finished, she says, Mother, don't worry. My fears are all sown in wild oats. He was out in the world. He thought he was doing a big thing, but I tell you, God started to deal with him. And God started to burn his body things. And he came to the Lord. Jethro told of a man and woman that came to the service one night, and he says he'll never forget it. They came to the meeting that night, they preached that sermon, and he says he knew God was speaking, he knew God was moving, and the woman wanted to come. And she said to her husband, I need to go forward. And he says, catch yourself on, woman. And he said to her again, and he actually slapped her face. And he said, it's the emotions of the meeting. You're getting carried away. Don't go forward. And he talked her out of it. And he said, back for the day they'd left the little girl in the house. And they went back home. And their clothes was on a neighbor's line. And in America, you know, your line could be quite a bit away, a field away. And the storm came up and they went to get the clothes from the line. And he says, lightning came. And the lightning struck the house. And the wee girl was at the window. You say, Brother Tom, you're getting all emotional carried away. No, I'm telling you, God's speaking to somebody in this meeting. You say, it's only Brother Tom. You see, you can say, it's only Brother Tom, but one day Jesus will come. Amen. And the Lord will say, Brother Tom preached it. It was only Brother Tom, but he preached it. Did you obey it? And the weak girl's heard back in fire. And she said, the baby. Run and get the baby's burning. And they run for the baby, but it was too late. And they run down to that meeting. And they run to the altar. And they got a hold of Jacko, and he said to Jacko, why didn't you make us pray? And he said, I couldn't, it was your choice, it was your will. And he said, why didn't you make us pray? There's another preacher, he backslid. A real man of God, he backslid, he got away from God. He started gambling, he started drinking. This man was a fine preacher, fine evangelist. But you see, the devil led him away. And Jethro preached that sermon. And he worked with all the tanks, but he was backslid. And his wee girl fell into a little pond they had out the back of the house and drowned. God burned his barley fields. I tell you, it's serious. You think I can do my own thing? I'll tell you, when God calls a man, he can't do his own thing. He can't do it. You have to do what God wants you to do. I'll tell you, it's the same with preaching. You can preach a tin can sermon, but one time you'll go and wait in God and he'll rebuke you and he'll speak to you. And he'll tell you, this is what you're going to preach. You might want to preach it. God wants it preached. I tell you, God's speaking to people. Samuel here was anointed. Samuel was called. Samuel was chosen. The Lord had a purpose for this young man. The Lord had a reason for this young man. And when the Spirit of God came upon him, it wasn't a lecture. It was something from God. I tell you, brother, that's what we need today. We need something from God. Not just a lecture, but something from God. You know, I have minister friends. I'm going to tell you the truth. They get me when they want the church stirred up. That's the only reason they get me. When things are running too good and they want them stirred up and fired up a bit, they send for me. I know what they're doing. But it's not right what they're doing. And God knows it. They're misusing what God's given. I'm telling you. Samuel 16 verse 13 says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramoth. Samuel the prophet anointed this man, David. And I tell you, he was God's man, and Samuel was God's man. I tell you, when a real prophet of God prays for you, it's going to make a difference. I'm telling you, there's an anointing that you can't get in the shop. It comes from the throne room of God. Like your brother even said, if that song was anointed, you can listen to songs, but they're not anointed. But when you ever listen to a song that's anointed, you'll find yourself singing it. And days later, you'll sing it again. Because it's done you good. Because it's from the Lord. Leviticus 8 verse 10 says this: and Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein, and sanctified them, and he sprinkled their off upon the altar 7 times, and anointed the altar and all the vessels, both the laver and the food, to sanctify them, and he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. And it's one thing that Aaron come off the right line, but coming off the right line's not enough. You have to be anointed, you have to be sanctified. The oil has to be poured upon the man, the oil has to be poured upon the woman to do the job. And even in these things of the making of this tabernacle, God anointed people to do the work. I tell you, we need people anointed to do the job. The pastor needs anointed, the elders need anointed, the deacons need anointed, the congregation needs anointed. God wants to anoint his people. The anointing breaks the yokes of the yoke. Sets captives free. Leviticus 21:12 says, neither shall they go out of the sanctuary to profane the sanctuary of his God, for the crown of the anointing oil of his God is upon a man of the Lord. The crown of the anointing oil of the Lord. I tell you, God wants to bring his preachers and men of God to a place for them to walk in the anointing. I don't mean being anointed in church, I mean to walk in it, where God can continually. You see, Brother Branham was in a position for he walked in the anointing. Wigglesworth walked in the anointing. These great men of God walked in the anointing. Even when they weren't preaching, if you met them, they walked in the anointing of God. Things could happen with them at any time, at any moment, because they were yielded to the Holy Spirit, and the anointing of God, when the crown of it was upon them. And God can still do it today. That's the thing about it. This anointing has never lost its power. Still available as we yield ourselves to the Lord. The 7 lamps of the golden lampstand had a oil supplied to the lamps morning and evening. There were 7 vessels, extra oil for these lamps. You see, it's not so much, there's so much emphasis on the candles, there's so much emphasis on the lampstand, but the thing of it was depending upon the oil. Extra oil was carried, oil was placed within it continually. They weren't allowed to let the oil lower or go down. It was continually a supply of oil. Amen. Look at Exodus 25, verse 31. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work, shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knobs, and his flowers shall be of the same. And 6 branches shall come out of the sides of it. 3 branches of the candlestick are to one side, and 3 branches of the candlestick are to the other side. 3 bowls made like unto almonds, with a knob and a flower in one branch, and 3 bowls made like almonds in the other branch, and a knob and a flower. Show the 6 branches that come out of the candlestick, and in the candlestick shall be a 4 bowls made like unto almonds, with their knobs and their flowers, and there shall be a knob under 2 branches of the same, and a knob under 2 branches of the same, and a knob under 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knobs and their branches shall be of the same, and it shall be one beaten pure work. pure gold, of a talent of pure gold, shall he make it with all these vessels, and look thou and make them after the pattern which was shown thee in the mount. God gave the pattern to Moses. Moses brought the pattern down, and Moses didn't say, now this pattern needs altered, this pattern needs changed. Moses brought the word of the Lord to the people of God, the way God gave it to him, and it worked because he never changed it. And it had to be done the way God said it, and this was one beaten work. It wasn't six and seven one added, or four and three that got. You read it here, you see it here, and you study this one beaten work. And the seal oil it all said. Numbers 8 verse 1 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, when thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. And this work of the candlestick was a beaten golden of gold under the shaft thereof, under the flowers thereof, was beaten work, according unto the pattern which the Lord had shown Moses. So he made the candlestick. He never changed it. And God never changes his mind about his word. There's no new gospel. There's no new way. But God's way is the right way. God's way is the best way. And God's way is the only way. In Exodus 30 verse 7, it says this, and Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. And when he dresseth up the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at evening, he shall burn incense upon it. A perpetual incense before the Lord throughout their generations. An incense is a type of prayer. An incense is a type of worship. And God wants us to worship Him in the morning. And God wants us to worship Him in the evening. God is saying He wants continual worship. God is saying He wants continual praise. He wants oil to be continually here. He wants us full to be filled. There has to be extra oil kept in case this oil gets low. As soon as you see it come down, top it up again. Never let it run out. Never let it go empty. Never let it get low. Keep it full. Be filled with the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. That's the word of God. And that's what God wants. The seven lamps of golden stand have to be supplied from the golden oil and the golden bowl of the vision that Zechariah had. And when you see, when you read of gold here, you're reading of supreme deity. You're reading of God Himself. When you read of gold, this is a wonderful pattern, a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this gold speaks of His deity, that God's on the scene here. And God is oil that comes from His throne house, not oil that you get of some other man, not oil that you get passed down from some generation, but oil from the throne room of God that never runs dry, but there's a continual supply. I hear so many people saying, you know, if you go and pray, you can get your brother so and so high. God doesn't want to get you with brother so and so high. That's why He had John, and He had Peter, and He had Paul. They were all different, and God wanted them all different, because every one of them had a job to do. A different job, maybe, but all heading the same way, all for the same purpose, for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You might say, brother, you know, I can't preach as well as brother so.
Verse 1.
And the angel that talked with me came again and walked with me. And as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, I want you to see that God wakens them.
Amen.
God wakens them. He sent an angel to waken them. And have we not in this last church age been sent an angel from God to waken us to the need of the hour, to the apathy of the hour? For as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day when the Son of Man shall be. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day. We know that. You know, Brother Branham told a woman, she said, "Brother Branham, I'm wanting a confirmation." And he said, "You see, sister, you're looking for confirmation. Do you have the Holy Spirit already?" But he says, "Would it help you if God liked you speak in tongues?" And she said, "Yes, brother." And he said, "Well, kneel down privately and pray, and God will let you speak in tongues. It will help you." And she did it. What about the 10 Methodists that nobody ever talks about? And they said, Bible! missionaries out. Have the campaigns. All this is continue on to Jesus comes. It shouldn't be a stop. If this is cleaning time, the Brother Brad preached, right? But there still have to be people who are willing to clean. There have to be people willing to clean. Willing to go at the back of the hedge, as it were, and to get the rest of what was left, because Jesus said he left the 99 and went for the one. A prayer meeting should be full. If you people are not seeing, we need to come and pray for them. Pray for them. Bring them before the throne room of God, that God will save them, that God will move upon them. That's what prayer meetings are for. And to encourage you in the middle of the week. See, these all slumbered and slept and go back to close. The winning. The spirit of slumber and sleep fell on all the virgins. All the wise and foolish fell into sleep. This was not the sleep of rest, but the sleep of lethargy. The sleep and slumber of spiritual drowsiness and unwatchfulness. The Bible warns us of such sleep. Look how Zechariah was awakened out of his sleep. And the angel, Zechariah 4 verse 1, and the angel that talked with me came again and waked me. Now I know you could say, well, this is, he was sleeping at night. Yes, all right, but we're to look at this as a type that we're to be waked at night. It's night. It's a late hour. At midnight, a cry was made. I'm closing. As I close, let me say this. When did the Lord come to Adam? The cool of the day. Evening. Just before dark. Is that right? And he said, the Lord was naked. It was naked. And then over in Revelation, Jesus says, how shall you be found when Jesus comes? Shall you be found naked? Now, we know it's a natural nakedness in Eden. Something spiritual had happened as well, but it's a natural. But we know today there's a spiritual nakedness for people in that clothes. People refer just to the Word. That's true. But what about the Spirit and the Word?
Amen.
Revelation said the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. God wants us to be awakened. And God wants us to be ready. Let's come and close our eyes this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that your word is the truth. Though the heaven and earth shall pass away, you said my words will not pass away, not one jot or tittle, till all be fulfilled. Lord, we know we're living at a late hour, when you have sent the Messiah sign in this last church age, a super sign, a ministry just like the ministry that Jesus himself had, that can discern the very secrets of the heart. Lord, it's a fair warning. The hour is late. Help us, Lord, to oil in the vessel. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'll move upon men and women in this room. That you will speak to them. That you will stir their hearts. Lord, if I've said something I shouldn't have, forgive me, I pray. But help me to, as a minister, to preach the truth of the gospel. Lord, bless and strengthen your own people. Lord, that they're ready, see with the Holy Spirit unto the coming of the Lord, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Father, I pray for those in this room that are in need this morning in their physical body. I ask from the crown of their head to the soles of their very feet that Jesus Christ. Lord, we know even the very feet of the cross. The start of it, he gnashed upon you with his teeth. That, Lord, as the time went by and the crucifixion, something happened, something took place. And he had a change. Lord, he turned to you and said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And you said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Father, those that's near our hearts that need salvation, Lord, will you move them? Will you speak to them? Will you take a dealing with them with the power of the Holy Ghost? And speak to me, pray. Pray again for Daniel and his family over in America. Lord, our heart goes out to them. We just pray that you'll comfort them. We pray that you'll strengthen them. We pray that you'll be very near to them in this terrible situation. And that you'll bless them at this time. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this morning, part us with thy blessing. May nobody be offended in your word. But may our hearts be stirred that we will seek for more of you. Fill me, I pray, Lord. Help me be the man of God you want me to be. For I ask these things in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as my dad goes tonight to Brother Billy's, I pray you'll bless the congregation there. Pray you'll strengthen them. Pray you'll speak through my dad. Pray you'll bless my dad and strengthen him. Give him the words to speak and the quickening power of the Holy Ghost all over his body. Lord, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, may he know the touch of the Master's hand and the power of God upon his physical being. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen. God bless each one. Praise God. Next coming night, maybe I'll continue on if the Lord leads that way. And pray for my dad as well, if the brother says, preach to my brother Billy tonight. The Lord bless you.
I just want to take an opportunity this morning just to share something with you the Lord has put in my heart just this morning while I come in. And I don't want to keep you long, but just however long the Holy Ghost keeps. And if you have to leave this morning, if you have to go somewhere, feel free to leave quietly. I want to share with you something this morning. Just while we were singing that song this morning, you know, I looked at the back and I seen there's people missing, you know. And I sat down, and John said what he said in the words of that song. By the time he was praying, I thought about Hannah, how she's not here this morning. I thought about Lydia and Kimberly, how they're not here. And the Lord spoke to me when I sat in this chair this morning. And he reminded me of how when David went and spent his time with the Philistines and how the Amalekites came in and stole his wives. And he said, many people sit with their arms folded while the enemy carries their children away, and their wives, and their sons, and their daughters. And if I could this morning, just for a while, I want to read to you God's word, 1 Samuel chapter 30. And maybe all of you can come this morning, you know. Just the other day when I listened to that sermon, you know, when as soon as I started to sing that song, I felt God's anointing. You know, Alva, could you come and play that this morning just softly while I read in 1 Samuel chapter 30? It says, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south of Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now David was away fighting an enemy that he shouldn't have been fighting. He was with the enemy who was going to fight God's people. And during that time, the enemy come and burned Ziklag with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David said to the people that were with him, lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to wait. You see, this death that caused David and his children was taken. And these men that were with him and David's two wives were taken as slaves. They were taken captives to Ahinoam, the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. But David was greatly distressed when the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Hallelujah. And David said to Abathar the priest, and Abimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Without fail, hallelujah. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook. Be sure where those that were left behind stand. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode, which were so faint that they could not over the brook be sore. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread, nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, with whom belongest thou? And wherefore art thou? And he said, I'm a young man of Egypt, servant to the Amalekite, and my master left me 3 days ago when I fell sick. I'll tell you this morning, when the enemy's done with your son or your daughter, he's going to leave them today. We need an invasion upon the south of the Jordanites, upon the coast, which belong to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, we born sick now. And David rescued the two wives, and there was not